Our message this morning is actually on various verses of Scripture. The title of it is Preference versus Duty. This morning I am breaking from my usual preaching to the book of Joshua to preach of a passage that I believe to be appropriate to all that has taken place in the last week, with our elections and other things that have happened, and to give consideration to what God's Word has to say to us about our leaders. And some of you may like what I have to say, and some of you may not as much, but you must give full attention to what God has to say on this subject. And I will be presenting this to you in the light of the very real fact that all nations and empires except the kingdom of God have a beginning and an end, and that God has put us in the proper time setting of the one that we are in because that's where He chose for us to be. And I say the time, both in the time and in the location. He put us in the right country for where He would have us so that we could serve Him. And I want us to remember that we are both called to pray for our leaders and to be thankful to God at the same time for how He is working out His purposes in our nation and in the world, even when we do not exactly understand what He has been doing, or what He is still doing, for that matter. I found myself later on Friday night getting into another one of these political debates. I determined as I drove home that that would be the last one. Now, that's not the first time I determined that, so it may or not be, but I'm going to make an effort because I find them useless. Well, I don't say useless, but pretty much people make up their mind, and that's what they make up their mind, and then we want to convince the other people that we're right and they're wrong, and so that's how that usually goes. But I want us to remember that in spite of how things have turned out this week, that God is God. And we need to be thankful to God for what He is doing, whether we like it or not. And that's hard. I would like to once again, toward the end of this message anyway, like to remind you of this fact, and this is important, that Christ is victorious and that His kingdom is without end and that He will reign as the righteous and just King over His people for all time. And we get to be part of that in both His bringing about all these things through the, what we call the normal process of earthly life and earthly governments, and the joys we will also share in, the eternal joy of being in the presence of the glory of our God and our King. So we get to be a part of this. Now, how we conduct ourselves during this is more what I want to speak to this morning. How we act. As I said, I was telling somebody, I didn't preach about the elections or my political views or anything during the last few months. I know I looked on sermon audio and saw quite a few things. Some telling you who to vote for this way, some telling you who to vote for that way. And I reminded somebody the other night, I didn't try to do that. I encouraged everybody to pray, to seek God's wisdom in your life, how you should do this, and then to follow that. As you have prayed and you feel that God is leading you, God is working out His purposes in and through your lives as well. And so we want to understand that He is doing this for the purpose of getting us ready for that last day. It's all working now toward the return of Christ. At the beginning, it was all working toward His first coming. And since that time, and what do they call these days that we live in today? The last days. We're in the last days. So how should we conduct ourselves then if we are indeed in the last days? What a wonderful opportunity when you think about it that we have right now while the world is being turned upside down. What a wonderful opportunity while this is taking place to show our Christian colors, as I use the term, our Christian colors, and be known as a strange and as a peculiar people. The Bible says that's what we are. We're supposed to be strange and peculiar in light of the world because we do not trust in earthly institutions, but rather in divine and sovereign rule of God. That doesn't mean that what's taken place and what will take place in our governments doesn't affect us. It does. It affects us in many different ways. But how are we acting? How are we speaking? How are we conducting our lives and our affairs in light of this? So even before I begin preaching through some of the texts of Scripture that relate to this city, state, national leadership, I want to remind you that when we judge our leaders, we must remain ever aware of how blessed we are in comparison to the rest of the world. And I think about this often. I've heard people pretty much hold Obama up there right with Satan. Look around the world and look in history. Look at the leaders that people have today. He's like a fluffy pillow compared to some of these guys. They are mean and deliberately evil men. But we are so blessed in this nation, and we forget that. We forget what types of men are leading other countries. Look at, even remember Fidel Castro? Of course you do. He's been around for the last four generations. Everybody remembers Fidel Castro. And what the people in that country have had to endure during that time, being cut off from much of from this country and much of the developments of other parts of the world. We also want to remember that even in its best times, that even the leaders of God's people did not always find favor in the eyes of the people. Now that's hard for us to think about. We love Moses. Moses was a man. Not everybody loved Moses all the time, and we know that. We know that because the Bible speaks particularly of how the people wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to do away with him. They murmured and complained against him. This was God's people. We can be sure that not all the mothers loved Joshua. There's a man of war training up their sons to be men of war. And it's a proud thing in these cultures to do that. But you want to have your children around a little bit. Many of the cultures were like this. So not everybody loved the kings in these lands as well. And you look at others, Solomon, pretty much the richest guy in the world, the wisest guy in the world. And what did he do with his people? He taxed them to death. And he wasn't, although he was a godly man, he didn't always live that out quite right. He had numerous wives from many godless countries. Look at the leaders that God gave them. Even David, good man, a godly man. And I believe David, when I look at his leadership, it seems much better compared to many. Yeah, he was a murderer. An adulterer. We have this leader of the CIA this week resigned because of adultery. I mean, the same stuff keeps going round and round. So when we're looking at things, what we need to determine is not how unhappy we are with things. You know, again, our preference. But we have to determine then what is God's duty or what has He called us to as Christians as we deal with this. And I brought this as a subject today because we've got 4 years of a new president. Well, we got 4 years of the same old president for 4 new years. Now, whether you like it or not, that's what we have. Unless God intervenes in some different way and either saves him, which we should be praying for, or decides his lifetime is ended, or causes them to do something irrevocably stupid, where, in which case you see impeachment. We have this man for 4 years. So should we wait till the end of the 4 years to start praying for him? Or should we start praying for him now? And this is where I want to encourage all of us, as men, women, and you children, because some of you, Zach, you'll be 16 by the time this guy gets out of office. Or, well, a few days after that, you'll be 16 years old. Some of you other kids might be both. But getting to that place, what should we be doing then? Again, we must keep in mind a number of different facts that although most of us think that we have the world's problems pretty much figured out in our own minds, I know I often do, and I could run this country better than any of the last four presidents we've seen. I'm convinced of this in my own mind. Few of us want the responsibilities that is laid upon our leaders at the highest level. Have you ever seen a president go in there and come out without having gray hair? I've watched a lot of people grow through these same 4 years, and they don't look the same. I watched Obama go in there. I don't know if he dyed his hair ahead of time or not, but 2 years into his presidency, his hair was all turning gray, and he was looking much older. This sort of leadership carries with it a great responsibility. We need to keep that in mind. We're easy to judge, but none of us want to take the effort to do what other people have done, to get themselves into these situations. Nobody becomes president overnight. These people go to school, they work hard in different positions. Again, not that they're all following the right ideology that I think they should follow, but they are hard workers. They work hard for that. So let me start by calling you to keep all these things in mind, and also remembering that we are called to nothing short than that of what the earliest Christians were called to in regards of how we view and respect authority. Some people like to say, well, that was for the early church. Things are different now, you know. Things are always different. But here's what we have, the Bible says, to say about this. Philippians 4:4 through 8 reads this way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I've preached through this so many times in the last 2 years. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known, made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. This is a general all-around call for the people. The parts I wanted to touch there were to be anxious for nothing. I have seen so and felt so much anxiety in the past 2 months. And since Wednesday, as I've talked to people, like, this is the end. Did I not just say at the beginning of this that there is a beginning and an end to every nation and every empire? And if God has put us in the place and time in history where this is the end of the empire, then we are to praise God for that. And we are not to be anxious. We are to be trusting God. Because is America our hope? It's not the hope of the world. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the hope of the world. And so although we have the blessing of interacting in these things and being a part of them, they should not be the things making us anxious. Had Romney won, Jesus would still be king. He would still accomplish his purposes. With Barack Obama winning, Jesus is still king. I had on my computer for the last month. Elect King Jesus. That's it. Floats around on my screens, you know, my big thing. Elect King Jesus. You know, I mean, he's already king. May as well call him to that position. We should not be an anxious people. We should be the people who are trusting in our God. And we should be the people who are showing this forth in our attitude as we talk with other people. When they start saying to us, oh, this is the end, we should not be going, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Say something like, is it? If it is the end, are you ready? Are you ready for the end? I mean, we should have some snappy response to these things that, you know, that kind of throws people off guard where they, again, they look at us and go, what's wrong with you? How come you're not scared? How come you're not going crazy because the world is? Again, don't get the notion that I'm teaching you shouldn't take preparation and steps, that you shouldn't care about things. But there's a difference between caring and going to the place of anxiousness and worry. I mentioned in the conversation that we were having the other night, it just bothered me. And then I continued to stay in the conversation, which was my stupid move because that was the chance to say, let's stop this and let's pray. But I mentioned in the conversation I had the other night that if we Christians spend half the time we spend on arguing politics and complaining about our leaders, and we spend half that time praying for the needs of this country, for our Lord to be more accepted as the supreme leader, then the politics of the country would have already changed because people would change. So in other words, if we spend all our time talking about politics, what we will change is politics. If we spend all our time talking about Christ, then we will see souls changed. Because it is through the speaking and the preaching of the Word of God that He accomplishes His good deeds. 1 Timothy 2:1, one of my favorite sermons I preached years ago on the word all and what it means. Where he says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority. He says to pray for these people. He says, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is what the Christian's supposed to look like. We're not supposed to be an anxious, obnoxious, loud, hateful people. What I'm saying here is you can seriously not like somebody and you still don't have to hate them. Especially if you don't know them. Personally, I'd like to spend an hour or two or more talking with the president we now have. I'd like to see what he really thinks. Not what the news tells me. I'd like to see what the man thinks. But we need to be praying for these people in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness. And it says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is a good thing to do. What he's not saying there, or what it says in reverse, is if you're doing the other thing, then this is not good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And you are doing nothing for the building up of God's kingdom and adding nothing as it would be to people understanding the glory of God. When we stand in the face of adversity, even as we watched on the video today, when we stand in the face of it, when we don't condemn our enemies, but we just stand and more or less trust in God. God is glorified. God is honored. Again, doesn't mean you have to be quiet, never say anything. It's how we say it, and it's what we say. It says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men, or all sorts of men, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Not this president, not this dictator, not this other leader, only the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. Did you notice again the picture? I don't have to give it too much here, that God wants all sorts of people saved. People from all backgrounds. Kings and leaders. He wants them saved. He wants them to hear the word of God. He wants us to be praying for them. We see cases of this where men of God were going before their leaders and proclaiming these very truths. Some of them were almost convinced. Some of them, I'm sure, were actually convinced. Titus 3:1 says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed." This is the call that we have. Now, that's Paul talking to Titus, telling him to remind the church. Remind them to be subject to rulers. And being subject, the picture there doesn't, again, mean that you have to always be happy, but it does exempt the idea of always complaining. We should be subject to our leaders, and we should be praying for them, because if you want a good leader, how do you get a good leader? God has to change his heart. How does God change hearts, people's hearts? Through his own desire, but he uses the prayers of the saints to accomplish these things. He says, be ready for every good deed, to malign no one. Oh, whoops. I do a lot of maligning sometimes when I get into the politic area. To be uncontentious. We shouldn't be that type of people. Gentle. We should be gentle. Again, not weak. Gentle and meek, humble, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hating one another. We need to be subject to our rulers. Now that can go a lot of different ways, and a lot of people have different understandings on that, and I'm not going there today, but most of us understand the basic idea there. We are to be the law-abiding citizens. Well, most people like most to be law-abiding most things except paying their taxes. But the Bible speaks specifically toward that and the speed limit. Speed limit's a big one. Well, it's not really a law. It's just kind of an issue, you know. And I'm in a hurry and I have to be there anyway. Better than your time. We need to be witnesses in all of our lives. We really do. And it takes work to do that. Romans 13:1 says pretty much the same thing. Let every person, if it's every person, that would include you. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. By the way, for your children, the governing authorities would also include your parents. They are the governing authorities in your life. Every child here, look at your parents. They are your first governing authority. Then comes me. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Can we lay hold of that? Can we really lay hold of that? I know that sometimes I can't. Except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Now, some people don't like that today in the church this week. If the guy they voted for would have got voted in, they would have agreed with me. The guy they didn't get, then get voted in, they would say, except this time. God establishes governments and authorities to accomplish his good will. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So we don't want to be resisting authority. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. In most cases. We saw that this morning. But for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good. Pretty much this does fall in line almost all the time. You want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good. I remember when I was different than I am now. And I used to live in a state of kind of looking around all the time to, because I was always anxious about the authorities. Now I'm different than that. So I don't do that anymore. I don't have a fear of the authorities because I'm doing what is good. And you will have praise for that. You will have praise for that from God. For it is the minister of God for you to do good. Yeah, grab that. For it is a minister of God for you to do good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword, speaking of the government, it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. That's why he has given us governments for that purpose. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Interesting phrase there, one that can take on a lot of meanings, and I'm not going there today, but one worth looking at yourself. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom it is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then there's Peter 2:12-17. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as set by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is the call to all Christians. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. And we do that sometimes. But use it as bond slaves of God. Now I like that again, that word bond slaves. That's a slave who decides he wants to be a slave. Not one who is forced into slavery, but a willing slave. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. That's not capital case there. I wasn't speaking of Jesus. I was speaking of the king. A little bit more. Ephesians 1:18-23. In this piece, this is where we get into where it speaks about the glory of Christ. The one who is our final, or the ultimate Lord and King. Where we see that the whole idea of kingship is pointing to Christ. The whole idea of kingship outside of God Himself as our King is pointing back again to God Himself being our King in the person of Christ. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance, speaking of Christ, in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. What a glorious thought for us to consider, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only those of this age, but also in the one to come. He has put all things in subjection under His feet. And gave Him His head over all things in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of all kings, the one to whom every knee shall bow, great men and small men. At one time, they will all stand before Christ. They will all bow, whether saved or unsaved, and acknowledge Him as Lord and King. I want to encourage you today. Again, you've got the leader you have through the process that we have in our land. And we should be thankful, although we may not all agree that it's a perfect process, that it's a much better one than most countries have. But we have the liberty that through this process, God has ordained that this man be our leader. And so I want to encourage each of you to commit yourselves. If we look, sometimes we look for a ministry. Oh, what kind of ministry can we have as a church? Let's be the church that prays for the president. We can send them a letter and say, we're a very conservative church. We don't even like a lot of your policies. But our God tells us to pray for you. So we're going to pray for you. Commit yourself to praying for the president. As you would pray for one another, for different things, pray for our leaders, not just the president. I'm specifically pointing to the president because I know some of you may not like him as much as you might like some of the other leaders. But pray for our president. Pray for our governors. Pray for our senators and our congressmen and women. Those people who will affect our, be in prayer for them. Know their names. Be in prayer for the mayor. And then for your children especially, be in prayer for your parents. I hear sometimes your children come to me and tell me your parents aren't fair. Well, don't tell me. Tell the one that can change their hearts. Tell God. And that's how we should come to this. We don't like the president, what he does. We don't like the governor. Well, we can write letters to them. We're free to do that. Thank you, Lord. That blessing. But pray for them. And again, don't pray for them to die. That's the natural prayer we have sometimes because we don't like what they've done, so we just pray the easy prayer. Pray that they would die. God take them out of office. Be gracious. Be gracious as God has been gracious to you. Pray that God might save them. And again, I pointed that to you more than once. What a joyous thing for us to possibly have the availability of living in an age when a sitting president would get up and make an announcement to say that he has become a Christian. Wouldn't that be a delight? We know that he would still not be a perfect man. But what a delight that would be. So let us become a part of this. Father, even as we have looked at your word, we know that there is much more that it has to say about this than I brought this morning. We pray for our leaders. We may not always agree with them. We may not always like them. But they are the men you have given to be the leaders. So we are thankful for them. We are thankful that you have, in your infinite wisdom, determined to put them where they're at right now, and they may not always do what is right in our eyes, but they are all working toward that ultimate goal of accomplishing your purposes, where that time will come where our Lord and our Savior, our King, will come back and will set everything right. And then we will have the perfect King forever, the one we will always be most pleased with. So help us, though, during this time as we struggle with what's going on around the world, in our own country, with the job situation, with the finances, the economy's going downhill, it looks like. And Lord, we don't know that the next 4 years may be an end to America as we know it. But in spite of that, you are still Lord, you are still King. So help us, Lord, to be people who are obedient to what you have called us to, even if it seems weird to us. Help us to be the men, women, and children who are praying for the people that you have put in authority in our lives. And we pray this all in Christ's name, who is Lord and King forever.